Hello, this is John McCormick, the pastor of Crossword Christian Center in Round Rock, Texas, and I want to welcome you to another episode of the Quarter with Christ 2.0. This is episode 8, and in this episode, we will be examining chapter 5 of Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. We will attempt to cover the first 20 verses in this episode, but we'll see how it goes. So if you could now get your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll begin our reading at verse 1. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, you will find these words. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse their sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in the things these people do. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light, for this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret, but their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them, for the light makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light." So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because you will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I like to call chapter 5 Raising the Bar in Christian Living. Paul has been laying down the groundwork, and now he's taking it to the next level. And so in the first 14 verses, I'll just summarize what those verses say by talking this way. After engaging the believers to live in the light, Paul encourages the believers to imitate God, fully incorporate God in everything that they do. So living a life full of love means following Christ as an example. However, to know the example of Christ means you've got to study the example. And this requires studying the Gospels. Let me say it this way, not just reading them, but studying them. Reading them, taking some time to stop after a chapter or two to reflect on what you've read. And after you've prayed to God and asked that the Holy Spirit give you understanding of what you're reading. So in order to live a life of love, really what you need to do is live your life like Christ did. But in order to know that, of course, you have to study the Gospels. Here's the other thing that Paul tells us in this particular chapter. He says, watch what you entertain. The sexual immorality, the impurity, the greed, those things have no place on your agenda. Or I'm going to say on your or in your spiritual diet. Here's the way I would like to summarize what he says there. The first thing is watch your mouth. What you say really does matter. It matters to you. And it matters to those around you, because the thing you have to remember is what you say not only affects you, but it can also affect those who are around you. And if you say some harmful things to them, you may not be able to recover from those, because after all, once it comes out, you cannot take it back. Second thing is, don't engage in what is not you. What do I mean by that? Your life has now been transformed because of your faith, your confession in the Lord Jesus Christ, and your conversion. You now should be living a different type of life. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to get everything perfect. It doesn't happen that way. It can happen that way for some, but for most of us, it's a growth. It's a gradual process. But what it does mean is our lives are transformed, which means the things that we used to do, we don't do them anymore, because we understand that is not what God requires. I like to say it this way. Transformation really means that the things that you used to do, you can no longer do them without experiencing some spiritual regret. That's the Holy Spirit convicting you, saying in no uncertain terms, you know better. And since you know better, you should do better. And since we're speaking of know better, that's the third thing. You know better. Since your conversion and your study of the word, you now know right from wrong. You can no longer plead ignorance because you have taken the time to study God's word. You've taken the time to meditate on it, and you've taken the time to learn it. So always remember this. Society likes to tell you that there are a lot of gray areas in life. Now, I do think that there are some areas in life that are gray, but most of them are not gray. In other words, we really do know right from wrong. The question is, are we really willing to do that? Do the right thing instead of doing the wrong thing. That's what really Paul is getting at in the first 14 verses of chapter 5. And then in verse 15, he starts talking about your lifestyle. He is warning us that we must be careful how we live. I like to say it this way. Living foolishly results in us experiencing missed opportunities. But living a godly life requires that we be spiritually alert. And to be spiritually alert, we need to understand that we need to stay away from some things that will dull our spiritual senses. What are the things that will dull our spiritual senses? Well, one of them is living foolishly, just living life in a haphazard way. Another one is acting thoughtlessly, just living on your reflexes. Please remember that God gave us humans something that the remainder of God's creation does not have, and that is the ability to rationalize and the ability to think. And I'm going to call it the ability to think critically. Animals like reptiles only act in reflexes. There's no thought behind what they do. They simply act based on their reflexes. We should not live that way. We should not live our lives in a way to where it looks like we are just living what I would call reflexively, but rather we ought to be living thoughtfully. That means we ought to put some time into thinking about the actions that we take, thinking about the words that we let come out of our mouths, thinking about how we treat one another. And let me add this as well, thinking about how we treat ourselves and how we present ourselves to those who are both believers and non-believers. The next thing that will dull your spiritual senses or your spiritual sense is becoming intoxicated. Now, remember, I'm going to say more about this intoxication piece in just a second, but all of these things, living foolishly, acting thoughtlessly, and becoming intoxicated, really do prevent you from being alert. So you need to stay away from them. That's what Paul is really getting at here. Now, let me say something about the becoming intoxicated, because oftentimes there is a debate about whether or not Christians can drink alcohol. And some people use this particular scripture and they couple this scripture or this text with what Paul says to the Romans in Romans chapter 14, beginning at verse 21. That's where he talks about refraining from doing or engaging in things that you know will cause others to stumble. But if you look at these scriptures carefully, especially this one in Ephesians chapter 5, notice what Paul is really saying. If you look at them carefully, the reading lets us know that alcohol or the intake of alcohol in and of itself is not prohibited. Now, I know that that's going to maybe offend some of you who have a more traditional interpretation of the text. But as I read the text and study it, there is no instance where Paul says that ingesting alcohol or drinking amounts to a sin. It only amounts to a sin when it becomes excessive. Because when you do it to the excess, then intoxication occurs. And when intoxication occurs, your spiritual senses are dulled. You've seen the scientific experiments on those who have become intoxicated, particularly when they're trying to drive. It's very clear that when that happens, the reflexes slow down. So it takes you longer to engage in very careful driving simply because you are intoxicated. Let me see if we can take that to this level. If we live our lives foolishly, and if we act thoughtlessly, and if we become intoxicated, our senses are dulled. And if we want to be the living examples that God wants us to be, if we want to raise the bar in Christian living, then we need to stay away from anything that will dull our senses, because we need to be on guard not only for what God may be doing in our lives, but we also need to be on guard for what Satan may be trying to attack us with. And if we're not on our A game, Satan can get to us with things that otherwise he would not be able to get to us with. I'd like to spend the remainder of our time in this episode talking about what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Of course, our tradition teaches us that when we are converted, at the moment that we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us. We do not believe that you get the Holy Spirit in installments or increments. No, we believe that upon the moment of conversion, the Holy Spirit dwells within you or within us. But that's different from being filled with the Holy Spirit, as Paul is referring to in this part of Ephesians. Being filled with the Holy Spirit means that we allow the Spirit, we allow him to have access into every aspect of our lives and control over every aspect of our lives. Now, that's hard for us as humans because we like to compartmentalize things and allow access to some things and deny access to others. Sometimes we try to treat God the same way when we are saved and we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and we have a relationship with God. There are still some areas that we don't allow or we try not to allow God into, either because we think we can handle those areas, or in some instances, because those areas are so dark and dirty that we think God cannot clean us up. And we are embarrassed to have or allow God into that aspect of our lives. But the truth of the matter is God is omniscient, so he knows about us anyway. And since God already knows about that aspect of our lives, we should allow the Holy Spirit to dwell there as well. And this is what happens when we become full of the Holy Spirit. We are able to do things that we otherwise would not be able to do because we are truly in tune to what God wants us to do, exactly when God wants us to do it, and how God wants us to do it. And when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, our senses, our spiritual senses, are heightened to the presence and power of God. And when that occurs, we become preoccupied with what I call thanksgiving. That means that when we are full of the Holy Spirit, we can't help but give God thanks for dwelling in us, cleaning up the areas that need cleaning up, taking control over our lives, and using us to further his kingdom. And here's the amazing thing. We can give God thanks for using us and investing in us, even when we are going through hard times. Why? Because we are full of the Holy Spirit. Well, I see that our time is up for this episode. I want to thank you again for listening in. If you have gotten anything out of this Bible study, please do me a favor and let someone else know about it. And remember, if you don't remember anything else, continue to study the Word, because the more you study the Word, the more the Word becomes a part of you. Have a great day.